This time I'm going to call Dom Lombardo up to read the scripture. And thank him for doing it.
Our scripture today is Mark 13, 32 through 37. This is Jesus telling everyone that the end is near and that we should watch out. Here it is. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
Thank you, Dom. Very nice job. Margaret was all ready for her date. She was wearing her best outfit. Her hair was all fixed up the way she wanted to be. Felt perfect about everything. Imagine her disappointment when her date did not show up. Margaret decided that he just wasn't going to come that night. So she changed into her pajamas, washed off all of her makeup she had spent so much time putting on, gathered up all the junk food that she could find, parked herself in front of the television for the evening, found the television show that she wanted to watch. Then there was a knock at the door. She opened the door to find her handsome date standing there with a bouquet of flowers. 2 hours late, he stared at her in shock and then said, in disbelief, I'm 2 hours late for our date, and you're still not ready. Welcome to this first Sunday in Advent. This is the Sunday that we begin getting prepared for the second coming of Christ. But we're also talking about the first coming of Christ when he was born in Bethlehem. And that's sometimes what we think the most about, the babe in Bethlehem. The choir has been preparing this music and doing such a wonderful job, singing and the bells. We're in the process of decorating the church. Communion is being served today. Drama was added to our worship service, and a very nice job. And it's always amazing to watch our society gearing up for the celebration of Christmas, the placements of lights, the singing of the Christmas carols, and everything being put out even before Thanksgiving is over. The holiday sales, Black Friday. Even the post office is affected by this. David Letterman had an old joke, and he said there's some good news out of Washington, D.C. He said the post office is ready for the big holiday and the crunch of mail. They've already placed an order for 10 million new signs that will read, "This window closed." Well, our friends at the U.S. Postal Service do their very best, and they are really crunched at Christmas time. I don't know how they do what they do. It's an enormous job getting ready, and all the cards that go out and the packages, and people getting ready shopping and presents. And one poor guy said, I started my Christmas shopping. I've already been to 3 banks trying to get a loan. Some of us can relate to that as much as we spend at Christmas time trying to satisfy the needs of our spouse or our loved one or all of our family members or our children. We're getting ready. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, pulling out the plastic. Of course, our Jewish friends have spent hundreds, even thousands of years getting ready for the Messiah to come. In fact, they're still waiting. They do not believe as we do that the Messiah in the personhood of Jesus Christ has already come the first time 2,000 years ago. Leo Rostin tells an amusing story that comes out of the Jewish tradition. There was a man in a small Russian village who, because of his disabling condition, could not find employment, and the community council wanted to help him without making him feel bad about himself, and they decided to give him a job. They paid him 2 rubles to go sit on the mountainside all day long and just sit on the hill outside of the village every day from dawn to sunset. He said, "You will be our watchman when the Messiah comes. And when he comes, you run to town and tell us the Messiah has come. The Messiah, he is coming." The man's face lit up just thinking of the glory of his new position, plus having a job and money coming in. So every morning he greeted the dawn from the hill, and not until sunset every day did he leave his treasured position. And a year went by, and a traveler approached the village, noticed the figure sitting up on the hill. "Shalom," called the traveler. He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm waiting on the Messiah," very proudly. "It's my job." And the traveler asked him, somewhat amused, "How do you like this job?" suppressing a smile. "Frankly, it doesn't pay much," said the poor man, "but it's steady work." That would be steady work if you did not believe that Jesus the Messiah had already come. 2,500 years of waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord, and the prophet Isaiah is still waiting for the Messiah. And he writes these words, beginning in the 64th chapter. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, and the mountains would tremble before you. And when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you." Isaiah lived in a time when the people of Israel were suffering because of their infidelity to God. They had turned their backs upon God, not really believing anymore. And Isaiah knew that the people could not save themselves. It was too late for that. So he paints a rather gloomy picture. And on a gentler note, he begins to write, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure. Lord, do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people." Isaiah was writing for a Savior. Many people today are waiting for a Savior. Did you know that? And some of them are your neighbors, maybe your next door neighbor. Somehow, someday, somewhere, the world awaits a Savior in the same way that Isaiah cried out, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Many in our world today cry out for a Savior. And the Savior came in the babe of Bethlehem, but still the world awaits. That is the meaning of Advent. Advent is a celebration of what has been and what is yet to come, the duality of it. The Savior of the world has come to us in the babe of Bethlehem, but this was simply the beginning of God's redeeming work. A beachhead was established, but the war over evil and darkness still has not been won. That victory will only be completed when the Savior returns and the kingdom of God is established in this world, even as it is in heaven now. It's so easy with our comfortable lives to focus on the beauty and the joy of Christmas. It's much more difficult for us to focus on the meaning of Advent, the season when the world groans with the birth pangs as it awaits God's final victory over sin and suffering. A couple from the United States spent some time as missionaries in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Republic, and they were caring for children in an orphanage, many kids who had never known parents. And they were simply overwhelmed by the tragedy and how many children there were. On one occasion, this missionary couple was teaching the children about Christ and about what Christmas meant. And they told them about Mary and Joseph and the angels and the stars and the manger scene and the star in the sky and God's world and how the babe in Bethlehem embodied all of this. And after the teaching, the Christmas story, this couple invited them to draw some pictures of the manger scene. And all the pictures were wonderful, but one in particular caught this missionary couple's attention. It was drawn by a little boy named Misha. And what Misha's drawing was distinctive, there was not one baby in the manger, but two. And they said, "Misha, what a wonderful picture," said the missionary woman, "but who is the other baby in the manger?" And Misha looked up with a very loving, sweet expression on his face and said, "Oh, the other baby, that's Misha." "Oh," the woman said, "you added yourself into the manger scene?" He said, "Well, when I was drawing the picture of the baby Jesus, Jesus looked at me and said, 'Misha, who is your family? Where is your family?' And I said to Jesus, 'I have no family.' Then Jesus said to me, 'Misha, where is your home?' And I said to Jesus, 'I have no home.' Then Jesus said to me, 'Misha, you can come to my home and you can be a part of my family." We're so thankful that Misha was introduced to Jesus Christ. We need to understand that after 2,000 years, there's still millions of people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They're still awaiting a Savior. You'll find them in the Soviet Union, but you'll find them in Glenshaw and Shaler and Millvale and Hampton, all around you, next door to you, who've heard His name but reject Him as Savior and Lord. Want nothing to do with church. But it is our responsibility to reach out to these little ones and adults and to do our best as the Church of Jesus Christ to help them find Jesus as the babe in Bethlehem and the King of Kings who will come again. That's their hope. And the Scripture promises us one day that the wolf will lie down with the lamb and the leopard will lie down with the goat and the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. You know, the Savior has come, but much of the world still awaits a Savior. And we forget that sometimes. And here's the promise of Scripture. Christ will return, and truly the day will come when no child will be left behind. There will be some peace and justice in the world, and sin and suffering will cease when Christ comes back. It is the promise of Scripture that one day the nations of the world will beat their swords in the plowshare and the spears into pruning hooks. This is what Advent is really all about. It is not really about the Christmas carols that we sing. It is really not about the lights that we hang. It is really not about the presents that we go out and buy and purchase and give. It is about preparing ourselves to celebrate the birth of the Savior of 2,000 years ago. It is also about preparing ourselves in a world for the Savior's return for the second time at the end of the days when all things in this world will be set aright. And no one knows when that day will be, but I do know this. The cries of God's children will not forever go unanswered. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. We need to pray that today. Our Savior has come down in the manger of Bethlehem, and He is coming again to answer the cries of His children that cry for His second coming, for peace, for justice, for the end of sin, for the end of suffering and pain. May God bless you on this first Sunday of Advent.